Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. Tonight, Governor Gretchen Whitmer will give her final State of the State address. Jackson area representative Sarah Leitner shared her expectations with our listeners.
Well, State of the State is always, I feel like, just a pie in the sky thing or even a review, you know, and obviously being the governor's last few months in office. You know, I think she'll just maybe expand on her budget and actually say, this is what I want to do. I want to do this. And of course, they make it sound good, you know, because they don't tell you the details. And, you know, the devil's always in the details, you know. And so I'm sure there's not going to be any discussion on all the tax increases that she's proposing. But, you know, all these good things that they want to fund and all these new programs and new employees and things of that nature. But, you know, it is what it is. I expect, you know, 45 minutes to an hour of hearing that.
Thursday, horse racing back in front of representatives at the Capitol.
I'm going to address the horse racing stuff. Rep Koontz and Rep Whitmer have a set of bills that changes the cap on the money that's put into the Ag Equine Industrial Development Fund. And it comes from the internet gaming tax. So it's, you know, it already is money that we are already collecting. We're just changing it up a little bit to help encourage the equine industry to be here in Michigan. And, you know, some of this money, it goes through MDARD. So, you know, fairs and festivals will benefit from this as well, even if they have exhibition racing. And this is just a thing to help encourage agriculture and the horse industry in Michigan.
Last week, Representative Leitner had the entire Springport football team as her guest.
Oh, it was great. I had the football team up. You know, as you know, they had the best record ever in school history, our entire school history. They went undefeated in the regular season, 11-1 overall. And then they also had a bunch of super smart kids as a team. They were all state, all academic. And, you know, lots of all region, all conference, all state, you know, kids on the team as well. So we had a talented team. And then it was a little extra special because, you know, my son is a senior, and he was the kicker for the team. And, so he was up there. And so I actually had the 11 seniors on the floor with me during session. And then the rest of the football team was in the gallery. So they got to be, you know, down there actively with my colleagues, and my colleagues were so nice to them, and they were also sweet and respectful, so that was good. But I've also known these boys because, you know, they grew up with Gavin, and so I did give them the what for before. I'm like, you refer to everybody as representative, you know, you don't have to remember their name, just say, you know, thank you, representative, or whatever.
Right. You can find our full conversation, part of the AM Jackson Podcast, a link available for you at WKHM.com or wherever you get your podcasts. A Troy woman faces a felony child abuse charge in connection to injuries suffered by a toddler in her care.
Authorities say 44-year-old Swap Nahari was babysitting the 13-month-old on September 3rd of last year when the alleged incident occurred. According to Hari, the child fell backwards while eating and began choking. The kid was then hospitalized with severe head trauma and serious brain damage. Hospital staff determining the injuries were inconsistent with the information they were given. Hari has been charged with first-degree child abuse, which could lead to life in prison. I'm Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
Two men and a woman have been arrested in Southfield, accused of human trafficking.
30-year-old Jawan Shorter and 30-year-old Samuel Hill from Inkster and 27-year-old Kylie Berry from Pennsylvania were arraigned Monday. Two of them were arrested Saturday at a Radisson Hotel in Southfield after a man says he was robbed while visiting a sex worker that morning. Here's Southfield Police Chief Elvin Barron.
Officers are looking for behaviors, particularly the young women who don't have identification. who look as though they are being controlled.
All three suspects are being held on bond. Darrellyn Horn for the Michigan News Network.
More than 100 local government leaders gathered Tuesday to oppose a package of housing bills now moving through the Michigan legislature.
Whether you live in Ironwood, Metro Detroit, or anywhere in between, these new laws would affect you. Imagine you want to build an in-law suite out back. Right now, you go to your local city or township hall and request zoning and planning permission. You file your paperwork, you pay your fees, and your locally elected officials consider your application. If legislation that's working its way through the officials instead. Supporters of the proposed changes say the push is to streamline land use and zoning in an effort to simplify home building. Opponents call it overreach. Here's Orion Township Supervisor Chris Barnett.
These state preemption bills are absolute government overreach. They take the zoning authority away from the people who live in our communities.
He's one of 1,300 local officials who have signed a petition opposing this legislation. Tim Pamplin for the Michigan News Network.
645-mile oil and gas line between Canada and the United States was in front of the U.S. Supreme Court.
That would be Line 5, which stretches from Ontario, Canada, through the Thumb region up to the UP, west into Wisconsin. Enbridge represents the pipeline, and they've been hit with multiple lawsuits, including from Attorney General Dana Nessel. But who should hear the case, a federal or state court? The lawyer representing the state's case is Solicitor General Ann Sherman, who says this should go to a state court because Enbridge missed their deadline to petition for a federal court.
This is a state official, state claims filed in a state court. Congress, when they set up the
So the answer is
process.
It's just too bad. And maybe that's the answer. Sometimes the law produces consequences that are not desirable.
And as for Enbridge, they argue since the line is international, plus the removal of a previous case from Governor Gretchen Whitmer, it allowed them an extension to the statute of limitations to petition for that federal court, which they did, but not within the original 30-day window. Now the Supreme Court will have to make a decision. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Accelerate Jackson County, formerly the Enterprise Group of Jackson, held their annual recap breakfast at Burt Walker Hall, located on the campus of Jackson College. Local businesses and community leaders gathered to hear from AGC officials, including CEO Keith Gillenwater, who highlighted the progress made in the county in 2025.
In 2025, Jackson County shows progress, and we didn't do it halfway. 2025 was not a year of planning from the sidelines. It was a year of execution. Across Accelerate Jackson County's four pillars of service: business development, workforce and talent, livability, and organizational excellence, we leaned into the work. Sometimes complex, sometimes uncomfortable, but always necessary. Because of that commitment, the impact of our efforts is visible across the county. We strengthened our industrial base. We expanded our national and international reach. We built not only organizational capacity, but our communities as well. We invested in long-term readiness, not just short-term wins. And most importantly, we did it together.
Chrissy Siders, President, CEO of True Community Credit Union, and the Accelerate Jackson County 2026 Board Chair, also discussed county leadership choosing to collaborate and work together over the past year.
What stands out is a choice that we've actually made as a community, and really, you know, with Keith's leadership, a choice that we're making. Over and over again, our community chose to show up. We chose to work together, we chose to invest, not just money, but time, talent, and belief in Jackson County. And I'll be honest with you, that choice matters now more than ever. In this world that we're living in this economy that we're living in, this choice that we're choosing to make matters even more than ever.
Barry Malik from County National Bank said he felt very encouraged about Jackson County after the event was over.
I felt very encouraged, very energized, enthusiastic, great representation from people in government, business, finance, all kinds of industry sectors and leadership, education. And it's great to see those leaders in the room and see the enthusiasm. Chrissy Siders did a great job. Keith Gillenwater did a great job. But I felt very encouraged when Keith went through all the projects and covered all the successes and growth that we've had in the county, and then, you know, talked a little bit about Drive Jackson and the future. I think the future's so bright, we got to wear shades.
More details available at WKHM.com. Photographs of the 2025 annual report can also be found on our Facebook page. The event took place yesterday at Jackson College. In Hillsdale, a dispute over library policy is escalating into a legal fight. Newly appointed library board member Eric Morris threatening legal action after city council member Joshua Palladino claimed Moore opposed regulating library materials for children. During a January 20th city council meeting, Palladino said Moore argued the city should avoid creating age-appropriate standards for books due to potential lawsuits. Moore's attorney denies those claims, saying no such statements were made and demanding a public retraction and $25,000 in damages. Palladino, represented by the Thomas Moore Law Center, says he was performing his legislative duties and will not retract his comments. The controversy stems from ongoing debates over library content and oversight. Council voted 6-3 last month to affirm Moore's appointment. A number of problems have been outlined about the Huron Valley Correctional Facility in Washtenaw County at a State House Oversight Committee yesterday. Michigan News Network's Beth Fisher.
Larisha Thornton worked at Huron Valley for 5 years, saying there was mold that made her and prisoners ill, drugs, and sexual harassment.
If you were a bully, you're great. But if you wanted to help, you became a target. And I became that target.
State Representative Lori Pohutsky says she saw mold at the facility, but the warden denied it was there. Beth Fisher, Michigan News Network.
Travel is not recommended to Mexico right now after a drug cartel leader was killed a few days ago, and there's been violence. People in some areas have been told to shelter in place. Cadillac Travel Group President David Fishman knows someone who lives in Puerto Vallarta.
Very calmly, ironically, goes, yeah, we went to our favorite little coffee place this morning and the streets were very quiet. I go, yeah, because you're supposed to shelter in place. What are you doing? He goes, ironically, they set a gas station on fire and it kind of blew up and it shot flames over to the building next door to him and burned down one of the apartments.
Fishman has advice for anyone traveling to other countries.
There's a free program that the government provides, mytravel.gov. You go on, it's free, you apply, you enroll. And what it does is it lets the consulate, the embassies in whatever country you're in know that you're there. And then they also have your email and information, so they'll send you information just in case there is civil unrest.
Fishman says clients have been canceling spring break trips to Mexico with all that's going on, so they are trying to find them other places to go. Tariffs have had an interesting effect on vehicle prices. AutoBeat reporter Jeff Gilbert.
There's an interesting pattern developing, says Rick Wainschel, the vice president of analytics at Catalyst IQ. He looked at manufacturers' suggested price of vehicles as well as the average marketed price.
Vehicles that had been produced in Canada, Germany, and Japan had a substantial increase in both of those pricing metrics.
Also Mexico, but to a lesser extent, but not much price increase, if at all, in vehicles made in the U.S. and South Korea. Wainschel says any pricing increase in today's environment has the potential to backfire on a car maker. Jeff Gilbert, the Michigan News Network.
Traffic fatalities slipped significantly in 2025.
The National Safety Council says this is the result of concerted efforts to make highways safer after we saw a big spike in deaths during the pandemic, fatalities slipping 12% last year. There was a decline in Michigan, but only 3%. A total of 37,810 people died on the nation's roadways last year, even as the number of miles driven rose 0.9%. Jeff Gilbert for the Michigan News Network.
25-year-old tradition at Greenfield Village is no more. The Henry Ford Village says that due to unforeseen mechanical complications with their steam-powered Thomas the Tank engine, they won't be able to host their annual Day Out with Thomas. They say the train model isn't compatible with the train operations at Greenfield Village. They say they explored alternatives but found none. Officials say the event will not return in the future. Finally, we're coming up on the 60-year anniversary of Michigan's most famous UFO sighting.
It was March 20th, 1966 in Dexter, Michigan, and Frank Manor saw something that sparked debates.
Initially looked like a meteorite, but then what was a red object stopped over the trees in the distance on their property and turned, I believe he said, blue and white. Him and his son went out there to take a peek at it. To say the least, this became a big hullabaloo out there.
So what did he see? Sam Maranto is the Great Lakes director of MUFON, or the Mutual UFO Network. And just days later, he said Hillsdale College students saw something similar, a strange craft in the air. So what did the experts call it? They called it swamp gas. Either way, skeptics of the official explanation may soon get some closure as President Donald Trump directed the release of government documents on unidentified aerial phenomena. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
All right. It's Wednesday, the 25th day of February. And today we celebrate Let's All Eat Right Day. It's National Chocolate Covered Peanuts Day. It's Quiet Day. I don't know how you can have chocolate covered peanuts and quiet. Those things have a crunch. It's not conducive to Quiet Day. National Clam Chowder Day. And it's Pistol Patent Day. It was on this date in 1957, Buddy Holly and the Crickets recorded That'll Be the Day in Clovis, New Mexico. On this date in 1963, the Beatles released their first U.S. single, Please Please Me. It was on this date in 1964, Muhammad Ali became the heavyweight champion of the world in Miami Beach. That was the in-ring interview after Sonny Liston was on the mat. Yeah, they do those interviews a little bit differently now. They actually ask questions and whatnot. It was on this date in 2009, popular science fiction writer Philip Jose Farmer. He passed away at the age of 91. On this day in 2010, an L.A. coroner determined that the drugs found in actress Brittany Murphy's system were those to treat a cold or respiratory infection. On this date in 2011, Christian Dior dropped designer John Galliano after he was allegedly caught drunk on tape making anti-Semitic remarks. It was on this date in 2014. Game show host Jim Lang, yeah, he passed away at the age of 81. In 2015, it was on this date, as many as 310 people were killed in avalanches in Afghanistan. On this date in 2016, three people were killed and 14 others injured in a series of shootings committed in Kansas by a disgruntled employee of a company called Excel. It was on this date in 2017. Actor Bill Paxton, he died from complications of heart surgery at the age of 61. Birthdays today include Noah Jupe, 21, actor from A Quiet Place. Isabella Furman is 29, actress from The Hunger Games and Orphan. Abby Wilde from Zoe 101, 37 today. Oliver Phelps, Harry Potter franchise, 40 today. James Phelps, 40, also from the Harry Potter franchise. I feel like they're related. It's possible. Justin Burfield is 40 from Malcolm in the Middle. Rashida Jones is 50 today, Parks and Rec, also from Silo. Chelsea Handler, she's a comic, she's an author, she's 51 today. Sean Astin is 55. Rudy is 55 today. Leslie Boone is 58, actress from Ed. Nancy O'Neill is 60 today from Entertainment Tonight. Taya Leone is 60 today. Alexis Denisoff is 60, actor from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, also from Angel. Carrot Top, the prop comedian. A little too over the top for my taste. He's 61 today. Ric Flair has a birthday today. He's 77.
But to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal, I'm the man.
Jim Backus from Gilligan's Island. He would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 1989. George Harrison would have had a birthday today. George Harrison from the Beatles passed away in 2001. More local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly. To everyone.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Final tally last night as the third-ranked Wolverines get the win. 77-67 over Minnesota at Chrysler Center, clinching at least a share of the Big Ten regular season title. It's Michigan's first conference crown since the 2021 season and the program's 100th all-time win over the Golden Gophers. The Wolverines improved to 26-2 overall, 16-1 in Big Ten play, tying a school record for conference wins and marking the best start in program history. Elliot Cadeau led the way, 15 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, hitting a key 3 in the second half. LJ Kaysan added 14, including a career-high 4 triples. Michigan caught fire from deep midway through the second half, knocking down 4 straight threes during a 12-2 run to build a double-digit lead that they would not give up. And up next, the Wolverines, they head to Champaign to face the 10th-ranked Fighting Illini. That's going to be Friday, and we're going to have that contest for you. U of M basketball, we're going to join that in progress after district finals here on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. So that's a 7:30, a scheduled 7:30 broadcast, 8 o'clock tip time. I'm going to guess we'll get to that at about the midway point. So somewhere in the halftime-ish area is when we'll get to that contest on Friday. So let not your heart be troubled. We will have that contest for you here on your favorite McKibben Media Group network of stations. Elsewhere from the Big Ten from yesterday, Michigan, Illinois, not the only ones on the schedule from yesterday. You also had UCLA and USC. UCLA getting the 81-62 win over the Trojans. Yesterday it was Northwestern, a 72-68 win over Indiana. Washington beating Rutgers 79-72 yesterday. Today in the Big Ten, Nebraska plays host to Maryland. That's at 7. Iowa plays host to the Ohio State University. That's at 9. Oregon takes on Wisconsin. That's an 11 o'clock tip time tonight. And Purdue, actually, that one's not till tomorrow. Purdue and MSU, that should be a pretty good matchup in the Big Ten. All right, now with that said, let's pivot. Let's make our way over to high school basketball. We're going to start off with ladies' action from yesterday in the Big 8. It was Concord all over Union City, 69-38 for Senior Parents Night at Concord. Quincy beating Springport 53-40 yesterday. Stockbridge on top of Reading 51-20. And it was Bronson getting a win over the Valley 51-38 yesterday in Big 8. Cascades Conference action yesterday. Jonesville getting a win over Charlotte 66-62. Squeaker for center, but they get the 51-50 win over Chelsea out of the White. So center girls beat Chelsea on a Maurice View buzzer beater, 51-50. View led the Cardinals with 22 points, 5 boards. McKinley Gaddy, 12 points, 5 assists. Kara Straub, 12 points, 5 boards, 5 blocks. Center now 19-3 heading into districts. Momentum's the thing. You got to have good momentum heading into the postseason. It was Western and Grass Lake. Grass Lake getting the 63-78 win over Western. Hazlitt beat Columbia 70-49. The Lady Golden Eagles traveled to Hazlitt to take on a top 10 division team that had several college commits on its roster. In the end, Hazlitt, way too much firepower to beat the Eagles 70-49, but it was a good challenge before districts. Gabby Gaydosh led the way with 12 points. Cecilia Slatt, Jalen Lamka, and Bella Knapp each added 8. Next game is on Thursday at Eaton Rapids. It was Hopkins topping Homer 48-39. Whitmore Lake all over Manchester 36-11. And Weberville getting a 32-15 win over Leslie and Ladies Cascades action from yesterday. Lumen Christi yesterday. They were handed one of their rare losses on the season last night. So that puts them at 16-3 on the season. It's their first loss to a Michigan team this year. as they fell 45-40 at home against Rockford. On to Interstate 8, I-8 basketball ladies last night. Harper Creek over Mattawan, 44-35. It was Lake Odessa Lakewood beating Penfield, 39-35. Coldwater over Otsego, 54-35. And in overtime, Northwest getting the win over Grand Ledge, 44-39. Already talked about the Western Grass Lake matchup from last night. On to the White. In the White last night, already talked about Center beating Chelsea. It was Tecumseh all over Jackson, 71-21 yesterday. Adrian topped Community, Ypsilanti Community, 54-21. And a squeaker, Pinckney, over Ipsy Lincoln, 31-30 yesterday in the White. In the SCAA East last night, Jackson Christian got a win over Bellevue, 66-35. High school basketball boys district continues in Division One, District 12. That matchup tonight going to feature Jackson taking on host school Mason. That contest 5:30 tonight. Jackson 16-6 on the season. Mason 13-10 on the season. Bottom part of that bracket, Northwest will take on Holt at Mason. That's at 7 o'clock. You look at the record here. Holt is 14-8. Northwest 13-9. So on paper, that appears to be a pretty good matchup. Both cases there in that district. We move over to Division Two. We go to District 50, where Western, coming off of their win against Harper Creek, Western will face Marshall tonight at Penfield. So Marshall 17-4. Western 6-17 on the season. That's game one at 5:30. Game two is going to be Penfield taking on Olivet again at Penfield. Division two, District 52 at Tecumseh. Michigan Center faces Madison tonight. That contest has a 5:30 tip time. That's going to be the broadcast game here on Newstalk 970 AM, 101.5 FM Center, 18-3 on the season. Madison, 14-8 on the season. Game number two, Adrian takes on Columbia. That is a 7 o'clock tip time. 15-7 for the Maples. Golden Eagles are 18-5 on the season. So that's game number two out of Division II, District 52, host school Tecumseh. Let's go over to Division III. We're looking at District 80. Oh, no. All right. The MHSAA site just decided it was going to refresh on me. Give me a second. Division III, District 83. This one is hosted at Leslie, where tonight you've got Springport taking on Dansville. That contest set at 5:30. Springport, Coach Champs out of the Big Eight last night. Not Coach Champs, they are the Champs. 17-5 on the season. Dansville, they are 7-16 on the season. Leslie will take on Stockbridge in the second game there tonight. That is set at 7 o'clock. So Leslie comes into this with a record of 15-7. Stockbridge, 17-6. Pretty good matchup there. Potential future Cascades matchup, too, with Stockbridge joining the Cascades. Was it next season? Let's go to Division III, District 84. Our broadcast game going to be down the hall to the left tonight on 95.9 The Power Cow. More hoops, less bull for that one tonight. Lumen will take on Homer. That contest set for 5:30. 15-6 Titans for the 9-14 Trojans. And then the second game of that doubleheader in district semifinals, Napoleon will take on Hanover Horton. Napoleon 12-10. The Comets 9-13 on the season. Winners from both of those contests will advance to the Friday district championship game. Division 3, District 85 at Hillsdale. It's going to have Jonesville taking on Hudson. Hillsdale will face Quincy tonight. let's, you know what? Let's, that's not the one we want to look at. We want to look at Division, I thought that sounded weird. We're looking at 86, Division 3, District 86. This one's going to feature Onstead versus Clinton and Manchester versus Blissfield, game 1 and 2 tonight. Manchester, the host school there. Now we go to Division 4, and we're going to look at District 117 with your host school, Vandercook Lake. Tonight, Weberville will take on the Prep. That contest set for 5:30, and the host school is in action in game number 2 tonight, 7 o'clock, Lansing Christian versus Vandy tonight. And then Division 4, District 118, to wrap up our look at high school basketball, Concord in action tonight as they take on Coldwater Pansophia Academy. Concord 18-4, the Academy 3-9 on the season at Litchfield. Host school Litchfield will face North Adams Jerome. That contest set for 7 o'clock tonight. All right, that's a rundown of high school basketball. And we'll have complete results for you tomorrow on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. Pistons back in action tonight, and that is going to be on Fox Sports 101.9 FM, 6:35 for the broadcast, as the Pistons take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's a 1-2 matchup in all of the NBA, and the Pistons, believe it or not, 7.5-point favorites in this one. Matchup predictor, 58.1% in favor of the Pistons. Elsewhere from the NBA, as we'll take a quick look at scores from yesterday, it was, the Magic beat the Lakers. It's a good day. Any day the Lakers lose is a good day. 110-109, Magic win. Timberwolves over the Trailblazers, 124-121. Celtics beat the Suns, 97-81. Hornets on top of the Bulls, 131-99. Pelicans beat the Warriors, 113-109. Mavericks over the Nets, 123-114. Bucks beat the Heat, 128-117. Cavs on top of the Knicks, 109-94. Hawks beat the Wizards, 119-98. 76ers beating the Pacers, 134-114. And the Thunder over the Raptors, 116-107. Jackson College Jets basketball. Final regular season game last night at the Vic Cuis Fieldhouse. You had all the action right here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. The ladies dialed up a 72-66 win over Macomb Community College. You know what? They're going to face that very same Macomb Community College team coming up on Tuesday the 3rd. As they start postseason action in the Great Lakes District A quarterfinal, 5:30. Box score from last night in that Lady Jets win. Top scores for the Jets, 21 points from Reese Williams. All of the other starters held to single digits. Reese Williams doing the brunt of the work. Tyra Wright putting up 13 points off the bench. Noel Smith putting up 11 points off the bench for the mighty Lady Jets, finishing the season on a win last night. Guys, on the other hand, they end their season with just 2 wins as they fell last night to Macomb Community College, 109-78 for that final last night. So, yes, the season is done for the Jets. Tigers baseball, they're back in action. Tigers baseball still trying to find their first win on the season in Grapefruit League action as they dropped one yesterday. So they'll try to get that win today. Tigers will be taking on Toronto. They've got a split squad. So Tigers split squad versus Toronto today in Lakeland. That's going to be a 1 o'clock broadcast. So as soon as we're done with On the Docket, we're going to pivot over to Detroit Tiger baseball. Yesterday, they fell 8-1 to the Braves. They lost to the Twins. Got shut out by the Twins 3-0 on Monday. So not a very good start for the Detroit baseball Tigers. How about some Lions news? In case you missed it last night, Lions offensive lineman Taylor Decker announced that he'll be returning for his 11th season next year amid speculation that he might retire before his upcoming season. So Taylor Decker returning for the Lions. And it's been confirmed, Lions will be playing in Germany next year. Not for the entire season, it's just one game.
It is official. The Lions will play a regular season game in Munich, Germany next year. The team announced this morning that they will play this fall in Munich at Allianz Arena, the home of the Bundesliga football club Bayern Munich. The team was already scheduled to have an international game this year, and Germany was the anticipated location as Detroit star receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown is a dual German citizen. The date of the game and the Lions' opponent in it are expected to be announced at a later time. Brendan Shabath, Michigan News Network.
I hope that's I home game. I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of teams losing a home game to head overseas. It's not. All right, 858 and a half or 853 and a half. That's your sports courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspots.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.
Now it's 16 minutes after 7 o'clock, and we're getting ready. It's a busy weekend in Jackson. We're getting ready for our immersive wedding experience at the Theodore coming up on Saturday, and one of our participants with that, one of our vendors going to be there, is Movable Feast Catering, and we welcome to the program Sherry from Movable Feast Catering. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
How are you doing today? Everything good?
I'm doing fabulous. Yeah. And yourself?
So far, so good. Yeah, we appreciate you being here and talking about what's happening coming up this weekend. Now, I DJ'd weddings for, gosh, 20 years, which for me ended up being probably about 10 years too long for me to do that, right? But one of the things I always found myself doing, I wouldn't cut the line for the catering, but I would try to, just as they're getting stuff, at least go and grab a roll or grab something. If not, because I'm on my feet all night long, and I got to know like which caterers were fabulous here in Jackson. How long has Movable Feast been in business here in Jackson?
So it's been under ownership under Dan and Carol Huntsberger for just about 30 years.
Okay, yeah, wow. So now how long have you guys been a part of it?
So I have been a part of the Movable Feast for just over 20 years.
Okay.
So I celebrate 20 years. Yeah, just a hot minute. Longevity is a real thing for us.
Yeah, no kidding. So coming up, you're doing the wedding experience. What was it about this show that kind of, because that's a little bit different than your typical expo. What was it about the show that kind of attracted you to it?
You know, we love the location. We love Jackson. We're excited to be a part of it. The Theodore, I've had the pleasure of touring while it was under construction, and boy, watching it come to fruition has been a real joy. And so we're just excited to be a part of it and watch it open and see how it unfolds into the community.
Yeah, it's quite different from what it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Different from what it was, but certainly unique, which is kind of what you expect from Laura and her crew over there. So tell me a little bit about Movable Feast Catering. What is it you guys are known for?
So Movable Feast Catering, we're known for cooking fresh on site. We're known for customizing proposals based on our clients' overall needs and theme of the event. Dietary is extremely important to us, too. We custom make a lot of dishes from scratch in-house that allows us to alter the recipe if a client needs based on the dietary needs of those individuals. Okay. We also have an off-site liquor license that allows us to bring and take alcohol to the event. We carry a liability insurance that covers us 100%. We have tip-certified bartenders. We also have some amazing team leads. Our events are all ran by an event supervisor that has been with our company for a number of years. We have, Michelle, who's been with us for 15. We have Nancy that's been with us for 14. We have Heather that's been with us for 12. We have Nikki that's been with us for 10. We're really excited about the crew that we have. And so I think that our staff and our product sets us apart from everyone else.
Right.
And it's been exciting to be a part of all of that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. I want to talk about on-site preparation there first, because I mean, not just preparation, it's on-site cooking.
Yeah.
Which makes a big deal, because when you make the food, it starts to degrade. I've seen it a million times. Mm-hmm. It starts to degrade as soon as it's done. It starts to degrade. But you reduce that when you're making it on site.
Yes, quality is so important. And we certainly believe that if we can offer you a freshly prepared meal, we're going to. All of our trucks are outfitted with convection ovens and jet pilot burners. I always joke with our clients that, you know, if you have time to watch us, we're like little ninjas. We jump out of the trucks, we jump out of our vans, we offload our vehicles. Our chefs jump into the back of the trucks, they pull off the tables, they sanitize, they start the ovens, they get their jet pilot burners off the trucks and started so that we were finishing everything on site. And it's definitely a system that we have in place because everything is about timing, right? We don't want food to sit in a hot box for 45 minutes to an hour before it's served. We want it hitting that food line shortly after it's pulled out of the oven. And we pride ourselves on that.
Yeah. Well, that's not easy to do. And I can think of just how we at home juggle things just for Thanksgiving, just for our meal. And you're doing that almost every weekend for a variety of different types of events on a large, large scale. That's not an easy task.
No, but thankfully we have, a great crew in the kitchen that, you know, they go through and they pre-plan everything. We have a saying that if you plan your work and work your plan, things will go well.
You mentioned the crew a few times, so let's focus in on that. When you talk about the longevity of those who have been working with you, to me that not only does that talk about the type of leadership that you have there, but the product that you're putting out. You have people who have been there for a long time. They know what they're doing.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the product is easy to get behind. You know, we don't use MSG in our product. We custom make our spices for our ranch and for other, you know, other sauces and our spice rubs for our chicken and our beef.
Okay.
So, you know, healthy eating, clean eating is super important to us. And we always make sure to feed our staff. You know, that's always something that we take into consideration when we're preparing food and we're going through our counts. We always talk about not only our guest counts, but we talk about our staff that's going to be on site. We talk about those outside vendors that are going to be on premise and need to eat, like, you know, the DJ.
Right, the DJ.
Exactly. Facilities manager. Right. You know, for us, everybody, we want to feed everybody. We want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to eat a nice hot meal and enjoy it.
All right. If you had to, I feel like I'm asking you which one's your favorite child. If you had to put a mark on what your favorite, your signature dish is there, what is it? What is it that Movable Feasts is known for their events?
You know, it's really hard. We have several dishes.
I told you, I'm asking you to pick your favorite child. It's right.
Well, you know, I do have my favorite dishes.
Okay.
I've joked for a long time that if I had to, you know, take myself out, I'd drown in our piccata sauce. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Really? Okay.
It is. We do a cream-based piccata sauce that goes right over our chicken breast. We slice it, shingle it in the pan, put this delicious cream-based sauce over the top of it, and it is outstanding.
Okay.
We are also known for our large menu of vegan vegetarian items, and they're amazing. They're amazing. We do an Italian vegetable crepe that's a mixture of vegetables rolled up in an eggplant skin, topped with a house-made marinara and a plant-based Parmesan cheese to keep it 100% gluten-free, vegan, nut-free across the board.
All right, you're going to be at the wedding experience coming up this weekend. What can our listeners expect when they come and visit you and they see your booth, they see you in action? What can they expect this weekend?
So we're going to have a couple of our event supervisors on site. I will also be on site.
Okay.
And I thought I'd do something fun for this showcase. We're going to do one of our more budget-friendly menu options, which is our mashed potato bar with a variety of toppings. And we're going to talk to our guests about ways that we can either elevate the event or ways that we can make their event special without breaking the bank.
Okay, very good. When you have that conversation with a bride, groom, bride's family, which is the bride. The bride's the decision maker, right? when you start that conversation, because again, I've been a part of weddings. I've had those meetings where you've got different ideas, different mentalities, all different suggestions coming from behind the bride, right? So when you have that conversation with the bride and you've got different ideas coming in, how do you figure out, where do you start? How do you have that conversation?
So we always start with either an over-the-phone consultation or a catering questionnaire. We understand that life is busy and you don't always have time for that initial call.
Right.
So we gather that information and we build a very concise proposal or to the best of our ability. And then from there, we let our clients know we're non-commission based at Movable Feast. Your bottom line has no effect on us. We really want to make sure that your proposal is what you're looking for, and we're willing to customize it as we need to get it to the place that you're happy with.
Do you start with where their budget is, or do you start with what their wants are?
So we talk about their wants, and then we talk about their budgets.
Okay.
And then we talk about ways that we can apply their wants within their budget.
Okay.
And then we talk about ways that they can save money maybe in other areas in order to put that money more into the food itself. Okay.
Do you do a buffet serving? Do you do a sit and serve, family serve? How do you, or do you do it all?
We do it all. Okay. We do absolutely everything. Yeah. We do everything from your basic picnic out in the field to a high-end multi-course plated meal.
Okay.
And again, it's all customized with each client. We're not really a cookie cutter kind of company. You call me, I'm going to need some information, and I'm going to put together
What's the secret to keeping the buffet line moving quickly?
Oh, the secret is to have multiple buffets
there
to have double-sided.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes.
I show up at a wedding, and if I see the buffet table scooted up against the wall, and there's, I know, exactly. Yeah. I know. I'm gonna be here a long time.
Yeah. That's cringeworthy. No, we absolutely look at the space. We talk to our clients ahead of time about how we're going to expedite dinner. We have our supervisor who releases the table so that it's done in an orderly fashion. You don't have people standing in these long lines. And we usually try to expedite dinner within about 10 to 15 minutes so that everyone's eating together and moving on to the next aspect of the event.
That's so important. That is so important. How do people get a hold of you? If they want to learn more, whether it's for a wedding, and that's kind of been the focus of our conversation because of the event coming up and because of my whatever. But you do more than just weddings, right?
Yeah.
How do people get a hold of you? And what do you guys do?
So I recommend that you check us out on our website. We're at the www.themovablefeastcatering.com.
Great website, by the way.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Reach out. You can send us an email directly through our website, and one of our sales reps will reach right out to you.
Okay. And more than just weddings. So you do like corporate parties. What do you guys do?
We do corporate. We do graduation parties.
Okay.
And I mean, that's coming up.
Yeah.
We do weddings. We do all types of religious events. There isn't an event out there that I don't do. You know, we've done baptisms. We've done engagement parties. We've done the brunches the following day. We've done a lot for the University of Michigan. And again, those corporate events are pretty phenomenal. We have some wonderful corporate clients.
Okay. Now, are you Jackson-centered, or where are you guys from?
So we're out of the Manchester area.
Okay.
So if you ask me, that's right between Jackson and Ann Arbor, which is the perfect location to be.
For sure.
And so I always like to say I'm in everybody's backyard.
And that makes sense. That's exactly where Manchester is. So, all right. Very good. Anything left untouched here, Sherry, from Movable Feast Caterings that we didn't talk about today?
You know, I just would like everyone to know that we not only handle our savory side of the menu, but we have an amazing bakery in-house as well. So we can provide sweets for the event. And again, those can be customized as well.
All right. Same question. Favorite child there? What's your favorite as far as your baked sweets go?
We're the home of the Moose Dome. The Devastation Moose Dome is one of the absolute most decadent desserts you'll ever experience.
I got a little hungry just as you mentioned that. I did. I mean, because that sounds perfect for breakfast.
I mean, it's perfect for every meal if you ask me. it is phenomenal.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today. And we're looking forward to seeing you out at the immersive wedding experience at the theater this weekend.
Well, thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to being there.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson podcast.
Right now, we head to our newsmaker line. We welcome to the program Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Jackson. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm so far so good. I had a busy night last night, handful of different meetings and a few things to take care of. And I know I was scrolling through Facebook during one of my downtimes, and I could see Mayor 365 getting ready for the meeting last night. It didn't appear like it was that there was a lot on the agenda for last night's meeting, Mayor.
No, it was a rare occasion. We didn't have any new business, didn't have any old business that we needed to take care of, and just had a few things on our consent agenda, and we had a presentation by Sherry Butters at a Jackson Collaborative Network, and received some information from the report that they do on our community, and, you know, just some things that we need to keep in mind in consideration while we are are planning and making decisions for trying to make this community better.
Right. Yeah. I did not do a deep dive into the report. I did do kind of like a scroll through from the city packet for this morning, but it looked like pretty much across the board, it was highlighting disparities between, within the populations and, and under different categories from the city to the county. So it looks like there's still some things that need to be worked on in the city, Mayor.
Yeah, what this report shows to me, Mark, is no matter how much great work you do, there is still much more work left to be done. It really brings things back to reality. For me, it also helps center and refocus the purpose of why we do what we're doing and who we're doing this work for.
Is there a takeaway or something from the presentation that stands out for you that you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners today?
You know, I would recommend anybody who lives in the county of Jackson to look at this set of data. I mean, this set of data really shows where we are as a community, where our deficiencies are, where the needs are in our community. And I think that it's something that everybody who does work in this community should take a look at. And then what they do with that information is totally up to them. You know, I've been in rooms where the data has been looked at and then attempts to discredit the data happens. I've been in rooms where this data is presented and then people are moved to action to try to combat the deficiencies that we see through this data. So I really think it depends on the person, what they end up doing with this data afterwards. Mm-hmm. But it is very eye-opening,
right?
All of the deficiencies that we have in our community.
Right.
It really is.
For our listeners, you referenced that your recommendation is for them to check it out. Now, if they want to reference what we're talking about here today, I was able to find it under the meetings and agenda button on the City of Jackson website, and it was pretty easy to find right there. But it's also available in other sources as well. So that was really it. It was basically just a presentation last night, and no council decisions made yay or nay in either directions on anything last night.
No decisions made after that. We took that information in. That took up the largest portion of the meeting. And the recommendation from Sherry last night was the call to action was for us to consider directing resources where the disparities are the greatest. I think that we have, as a council, as a city, I really believe that we have done our best job at doing exactly that, directing our resources to where disparities are the greatest. She also recommended for us to use this data as a guide for policy and budgeting decisions. Which is very timely because we are approaching budget season for the city of Jackson right now. So I think this is very timely information.
Gotcha.
And then she also said that we should look to elevate resident voices in helping us shape the solutions, because most times those who are closest to the problem, and this is something that a friend of mine, Tasha Carter, always says, those who are closest to the problems are closest to the solutions, but always the furthest from the resources and the ability to contribute to those solutions. And I truly do believe that. And so we try to make sure that we lift up those resident voices and trying to make sure that we are listening in all ways. And so I really appreciate Sherry Butters and the Jackson Collaborative Network and the whole team of people who surveyed individuals across our entire county to get this data put together for us. As a leader in the community, to me, this is the type of data that should be driving decision making.
Gotcha. Right. Okay, so with that said, you mentioned that approaching the budgetary process now for the city. What's the next steps here? What's going to be happening here in the next weeks, months to put together this? I know that you had the report at the last meeting from the previous year. So where are we going to be at with the budget this year, Mayor?
Well, I mean, the nice thing is, our staff always presents a very strong budget for us to consider. And so staff, I'm sure, is putting their budgets together right now, looking at their line items from last year, looking at the rising cost of what they need to make adjustments for to start preparing to present their budgets for us. That normally happens around April.
Gotcha.
So this is the time that they use to prepare. I also think it's right in line with everything that's happening right now. We heard from the president last night. We'll hear from our governor soon. And then we'll also hear the State of the City on March 4th. And so I think those items also, what they hear that is important to council, what they hear that's important to myself as mayor, will also help guide and direct what they're putting in their budgets to present to us, because they also know what's important to us.
All right. So next week, yeah, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth. State of the Union, State of the State, now State of the City next week. And I feel like with what I know about you, Mayor Daniel Mahoney, you've at least got somewhat of an outline put together for your presentation, for your speech next week.
You know, the way my brain works, I don't ever try to force myself to write anything.
Mm-hmm.
I have to wait until it comes to me, which happens at weird times. Sometimes it's 4 o'clock in the morning, the day before I need to speak. Sometimes it is, you know, a few weeks ahead of time. This time I've really been trying to wrap my mind around one, how to truly express my gratitude for the trust that the citizens of the city of Jackson put in me, not for one term, but for two terms as mayor of the city of Jackson, and providing a highlight of what I feel like we as citizens of the city of Jackson need to be looking for in the next mayor as well. Because while, yes, I'm going to set the vision for what I would like to see happen over the next few months leading up to my departure from the seat, but I think it's also very important for me to help set the vision for what we should be looking for in leadership once I do leave office.
Okay. And, you know, throughout the rest of this year, you'll probably get this question from me in a few different forms, in a few different ways, but As we approach, there's going to be a variety of last things that you do as mayor. And we're approaching the final State of the City address as mayor. How are you right now with your decision to not run again? Are you still, like, you know, 100% there in that mindset? Have you questioned that at all? Or where's Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney's mind right now when it comes to your decision to not run again for mayor?
You know, I'm a very Christ-centered man, God-fearing above all things. Before I make any decision, I pray about it. And one thing that the Bible tells a man to do is let his yes be yes and let his no be no. I feel very solid about my decision to not run again. I feel very solid about my decision. I mean, there's always those thoughts of, is there more work left to do? And I talked about this when I decided to run for re-election. Is the question for me is not, do I want to continue to be mayor? The question for me is always, is there more work left for me to do? Not more work left to do, because the answer to that is always yes. There's always going to be more work left to do. There's a million things that could still be done. But the question is the work for me to do? Mm-hmm. There's more work for me to do in this year. Past this year, I think I can still be influential in getting the things done that I think should be done in our community. But I think leadership does not require a title. That's something I truly believe in. So is there more work for me to do past this election? Yes, but not in the form of being the mayor of the city of Jackson. I have truly and thoroughly enjoyed my time Being mayor, I'm planning to run through the finish line. I do not plan to slow down or stop or be stalled on any projects that I'd like to see happen. I'm going to work as hard as I can because I believe that that's what the citizens of this community deserve. But I don't have any regrets about saying that I'm not going to run again.
All right. Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney joining us here on AM Jackson. Is that list of Key to the City recipients embargoed, or have you announced who's going to be receiving the keys yet?
Well, you know what? I hope these individuals have been notified. There's some individuals who we have on our list of individuals to be recognized at this year's State of the City. And I gave you my word, and I'm a man of my word. I said, hey, I'll let you know first.
Right.
So I'm willing to share if we got time to share.
Yeah, we do have time to share if you're ready to let our listeners know. We're ready.
Okay. So here's my list. Hang on. Let me just add two more things right quick.
Mm-hmm. So notifications have gone out, and you're expecting them to be in the seats at the City Center for the State of the City address on the 4th next week.
Correct.
Okay. As we're talking with Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney here on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Brian Wheeler going to be joining us during the 8 o'clock hour. Have you pulled up the appropriate information, Mayor?
I'm looking for one more thing.
Okay.
Give me 2 seconds.
No, right, you're absolutely fine. You're absolutely fine. Busy night here on AM Jackson, or on News Talk 970, as we have high school basketball live from Tecumseh, as we'll be following Michigan Center and others. And on Power Cow, we'll have the district semifinals live from Napoleon tonight. So we've got a lot of high school action for you tonight on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and 95.9 The Power Cow. Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney is getting ready to unembargo the list of key recipients this year.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, go for it.
So the first person who came to mind on my list, mm-hmm, is Chrissy Siders from True Community. Chrissy is and has been a change maker in this community from the seat that she sits in as CEO of True Community Credit Union. And so she is going to receive the key to the city this year.
Nice.
So the next person is Karen Howley. Now, I started to go with Bart, but I truly believe that behind every great man is a woman who is making sure that that man is great. I know that Bart will be sharing this moment with his wife, but I truly appreciate how Karen holds down Bart in the way that she is supporting him and the way that she supports JTV, the way she shows up in the community and supports other women in this community is just phenomenal. And she will be another awardee of the key to the city.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to jump in there,
no,
but
go ahead.
Well, because, you know, Bart is the face, and he's the one that everybody sees. He's the one that everybody talks to. You know, I've been on there, you've been on there, but that communication, the organization, the setup, everything before the conversation with Bart, all of that goes through Karen. She does a lot of work before anybody gets on the air with Bart.
Absolutely. And she's super involved behind the scenes.
Sure.
You know, that I really appreciate. And so I think she should be recognized. And you know, that's kind of what my goal was this year, was to recognize individuals in our community that, you know, some may be being recognized, but some deserve a little bit more recognition as well.
Right.
Which leads me to the next individual.
Sure.
This individual I consider a mentor and who has been a sound voice of reason in a lot of decision making that I've had to do over my entire term of being an elected official in general. And that is Mr. Ed Woods, who's a board of director at Lifeway, He's on the State Association for Mental Health. He's also, I'm not sure if he's currently, but I know he was formerly the president of the National Association for Mental Health. And is just a pillar in this community, and deserves to be honored in many ways other than this. But this is something I know that I can do. So Mr. Ed Woods will receive the key to the city. Another individual who is making a difference in this community through her contribution to serving those who are underserved is Ms. Brenda Hughes. From Together We Make a Difference, and just trying to honor the work that she does, and kind of goes under the radar and unnoticed, but deserves to be honored as well. Another individual who I think we all are familiar with the work that she has done around this community and for this community through the Jackson Community Foundation is Monica Moser. Mm-hmm. Monica is involved in so many ways and in so many rooms around this community, and just deserves to be showered with praise and appreciation as well for the work that she's done in this community. Another individual who I believe should be given their flowers. While we can still give people their flowers, I think we should do that. And that is Mr. Steve Tucker, formerly of the Michigan Theater. We all know that there's quite a bit of drama going on around the Michigan Theater and his departure. I won't get into that, but I will say that Steve Tucker has been a great individual to work with anytime that I've hosted or held events. And this is going back as far as like 2016 when I hosted a concert at the Michigan Theater and have hosted several of it over the years at the Michigan Theater, and have been able to see the transition that theater has been able to make under his leadership. I think that he deserves to be recognized and appreciated for the work that he has done over at the Michigan Theater. Another individual who has done phenomenal work in our community, and I've had a great relationship since being a board member on LifeWays, is the CEO of LifeWays, Mary Beth Leonard, who is or has retired this year. And then also the CEO of Segway, Mike, and I'm so sorry, Mike, your last name is slipping my mind, and that's what I was looking for, but I didn't want to have to waste a whole lot of time trying to chase it down. But Mike from Segway, the CEO of Segway, is the last individual who received the key to the city for this year.
All right. Well, that's a lot of keys. There's going to be a lot of keys off that key ring.
It is. It is. Hopefully somebody will let me borrow one after I leave to be able to make sure I still got a little access around here after November.
Something tells me, Mayor, that, you even said it earlier, there still will be opportunities for Daniel Mahoney to have influence in the Jackson area. So, all right.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right. Well, Mayor, as always, we appreciate our visits each and every week, and we look forward to our conversations next week, and looking forward to the State of the City coverage next week too.
Absolutely. Right. And again, this year's State of the City, I'm asking our community not to show up for me, not to show up for City Council, but show up for these community warriors who we plan to celebrate and honor through giving them the key to the city. That is the main reason that I think people should show up this year. And it is next Wednesday, March 4th at 6 p.m. at the City Center, the Masonic, right downtown.
All right. We'll spend a little more time on your messaging as we have our conversation next week. Mayor, as always, we appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation, and we look forward to talking with you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark. Have a good day. Have a good day, Jackson.
Jackson Mayor Daniel Mahoney joining us on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Look at your weather this time around, courtesy of Industrial Steel Treating, where today we are looking at partly sunny skies, 32 degrees, windy conditions for today, partly cloudy for tonight, 14 for the low, and again, a little breezy for us overnight. And winds calm down a little bit on Thursday. Partly sunny, we'll see 37 for the afternoon high tomorrow. We're at 28, partly cloudy skies. Does feel like 17 with the wind chill right now. And that is a look at your weather forecast, courtesy of Industrial Steel Treating of Jackson, where their dedicated and loyal employee families, why they've been around for over 80 years. ABC News headlines coming up in a little bit, courtesy of Think Jackson. But before we go there, we go to our newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program Brian Wheeler, joining us from Consumers Energy, spokesperson to the stars, Brian Wheeler. Good morning, Brian.
Spokesperson to the stars. I'm going to adopt that.
Every once in a while, I'll throw out a Gregism. Yeah. People got used to him saying that kind of stuff for 50 years, so I just kind of keep that as a little flavor here every once in a while. So
it livens things up. I love it.
Yeah. So how's Brian today?
I'm good. I was listening to the forecast there, and boy, I'm ready for winter to be over, aren't you? I mean, I'm sorry. I love my four seasons, but I have my limits.
This is, it makes us appreciate. Yeah. I like this time of year much better than early spring. I do not like, the only season I don't like is that first third of spring where it's just a muddy, yucky mess. There's no life outside. It's just, I don't like it. You can't do anything.
The sludginess.
I
the mud,
hate that.
The,
yes. Yeah. Yes. And I've always been a flip your perspective positive kind of person, but I have not been able to put a positive spin on muddy spring yet.
Yeah. Well, that could be your challenge to listeners both today and the rest of the week.
Okay.
Call in and tell us, although I'll throw one thing at you.
Sure.
It's almost March, right?
Yeah.
Which means March Madness.
There you go.
If you're a basketball fan, there's that. Then there's baseball, if you're a sports fan of that.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Before you know it,
for sure.
Before you know it, we're past the worst of spring and we're planting our gardens and everything blooms again.
Brian Wheeler helping me flip the perspective on muddy spring. Thank you so much. I appreciate
that. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Hey, let's talk about home show. Thinking of flipping our perspective for spring, springtime seems to breed ideas in and around the home in the Home and Garden Show, which Consumers is a presenting sponsor of, is happening this weekend.
Yeah, we got our name on it because, like you, we're thinking spring, we're thinking brighter days ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hope that many folks listening will make the trip there this weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and not just Consumers Energy. I think they said they have something like 90 different vendors that are going to be there. A lot of folks right here from our community, and really helping you as you're thinking about those home projects. Of course, getting the garden going, thinking of spring and mm-hmm. things to come. And whether it's the Consumers Energy booth or others, a lot of folks have a lot of ideas to save you money, which that should change your perspective as well.
Why is this important? Because I know Consumers, I've done broadcasts out there, I've been a part of it for many years, and Consumers always seems to be there. Why is this event important for consumers to kind of hang their hat on and say, hey, this is ours?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, for one thing, it's in Jackson, our hometown. And so, you know, it's great to be active in our community, supporting our neighbors and our friends. But we've been talking the last couple of weeks, and we'll probably talk some more about those high winter bills, those heating bills that we're all dealing with. And I think one thing to help orient people is that when you're thinking about savings, a lot of it starts with really your home, the structure itself. I've got a 1920s era home, not built to all the modern standards that we're accustomed to. And so over the years, we've had to make, we've chosen to make, done remodeling and upgrades that help in a lot of ways, but also help make our home more efficient. So we're really going to give you kind of that perspective at the Home Garden Show this weekend, where we can show you how when you're doing home upgrades or taking those steps to make your quality of life better, you're also going to work with us to get rebates, to get incentives that are going to help you save money along the way, both when you're doing the work and then, of course, when those upgrades, say those new windows are in place for years to come.
Right. So there's going to be that information at the booths and whatnot. I know, I feel like whenever we're talking with consumers at the home show, we're talking about new smart thermostats and being able to control your furnace or your air conditioner in a smart way.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I got some notes from my teammates who are going to be there this weekend, mm-hmm. and smart thermostat is on the list, but it's a long list of things that we offer. But you know, I'll tell you, you know, we have a smart thermostat program that rewards you for that device. Smart thermostats are important because they allow you to adjust your temperature, your settings in your home, especially when you're not there, so you're not wasting energy. We actually had this debate in our office the other day about, you know, is it smarter to leave your temperature in your house the same 24 hours a day, or say when you're off to work or gone, you know, gone for an extended time to lower your temperature? I'll give you the secret. The answer is you should adjust your temperature. You should make use of the fact that you're not using all that energy, that heat, when you're not around. So that smart thermostat, you can program it. It does so much great work. And we also have a smart thermostat program that rewards you for making adjustments in the heat of summer. And you can actually get $50 when you enroll in the program. So that's one among many things. Let me just throw a couple other things, sure. Ideas at you, things to learn about.
Yeah.
Appliance rebates. We talked about spring. You're probably cleaning out the garage. I know mine needs to be cleaned out. If you have that old refrigerator, for example, that still works that you don't use anymore, our appliance recycling program will take it off your hands and give you a financial reward for it. So we'll do the heavy lifting and leave you with cash behind. Our home energy analysis, I know we've talked about before, where let us you know, make an appointment, work with us, let us come through and help you identify some more possibilities to save money. And my goodness, just about any appliance or you know, major purchase you have for your home, from windows to insulation, your refrigerator, your washer, your dryer, there's hundreds of these things. There are rebates that are either baked in when you buy them at the store, or, you know, a little bit of paperwork to fill out. The Wheeler household got a new furnace a few months ago, just in time for this cold, cold winter. It wasn't inexpensive, but there's a consumer's energy rebate that came with it as well, just to take a little bit off the front end.
Right. Yeah.
That's a mouthful, isn't it? There's a lot, right?
There's a lot.
Just getting started.
Well, right? I know. You know, Tina's going to remind you to make sure that you change that furnace filter. It might be new, but you change that regularly.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? So your home and garden show, mm-hmm. we're going to give you kind of, there are people who are looking to make big changes. Mm-hmm. And so we at Consumers Energy, again, you know, why are we here this weekend? Why are we sponsoring the show? We want to be part of the conversation with you, to help you on the front end, again, to get the rebates, the incentives, to make those investments and make them really pay off for you. And then you're talking about the next step is that it's never too late, even as we deal with cold weather. Those things you do around the house that are going to help to keep your bills down. Please change your furnace filters, especially like me if you have pets. you know, adjusting the thermostat when the sun is shining, opening the blinds, letting that sunshine in your house to do the work of warming things up for you. It starts with good investments and good strategy, and then there's the tactics that you carry out every day that help keep your bills down.
Hey, real quick on the smart thermostat. Does it determine which spouse is in control? No?
The answer is, Mark, your wife.
Well, she's in charge. I knew that. Yeah. That I knew. That one I knew. So.
Yeah, that's smart. That's smart thermostat. We'll figure out pretty quickly who's the boss here.
All right. So you guys are going to be there all over the place, too. You'll have your booth there, but you can't walk around without seeing some consumers' representatives there all weekend long at the Home and Garden Show at the American One Event Center. Let's circle back and spend a little bit more time, because those bills have been coming in this month, and people are looking at a little bit of sticker shock. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but let's just kind of elaborate this, because the points of information that we really can't emphasize enough. If someone sees their bill, says there's no way, that's going to be hard for us to handle this year, what should people do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, it can be surprising sometimes. There are people who make their bill payments, consumers and others, regularly. There's no issues. And something happens in your household. So maybe the bill is higher because it's been a cold winter, or someone loses a job, there are fewer hours of work. Medical bills can be a surprise sometimes. So we recognize people are facing a myriad of challenges. If one of those challenges in front of you is your consumer's energy bill, we want to work with you. We want to help you. So by all means, if you're in it's a one-time situation, you think you need to help us make an adjustment that's going to help you, call us. Call 800-477-5050, or go online. Hopefully you have a consumer's energy account. You can set up a customer account anytime at consumersenergy.com. It can sometimes be as simple as making a one-time payment adjustment, spreading out a payment over a couple of months. Or maybe we can get you on a budget plan, which takes your annual total bills and levels them out mm-hmm. evenly throughout the season. So that really helps to mitigate the spikes that come with the winter cold. And then beyond working with us directly, we've been supporting our nonprofit partners, really talking up the resources that are here in our community. Calling 211, I know we talked about it before, but right. just a friendly reminder, calling 211 is that free phone call you make that you can explain your situation or whatever it is, and they can manage to connect you with nonprofits here in Jackson, here around, throughout the state, really. I think they said something like 27,000 programs that they have a connection point to, which is just mind-boggling. The nice part for you is that just remember to call 211, and that's your doorway into all that opportunity.
Yeah, they ask you some simple questions, and they zero in on your area and tell you what's available. They have resource to tell you what's available nearby. So, yeah, 211 is the place to call.
For sure. And sometimes people mm-hmm. have relationships with some of the nonprofits directly, which is fine to continue. I mean, you think about United Way, Community Action Agency, Salvation Army. Salvation Army was putting out the word this week that they have dollars that are available, thanks in part to Consumers Energy, but also through other sources. So, you know, it's life is busy. Yeah. And there's a lot going on. And so I certainly know from personal experience, sometimes dealing with bills and finances, particularly when there are life's challenges, maybe isn't the first thing you want to do. But this is why we're talking about this, to say, one, it happens to a lot of people, and it's no big deal. You should get the assistance that you deserve. And secondly, there's more out there than perhaps you realize.
Right.
And so, you know, don't hesitate. Just, you know, you get the Consumers Energy bill, you get some other thing that's going to throw you for a loop. Start making the outreach today and know that there are people who care about you. That includes us at Consumers Energy.
Well, and you hit on a point there. You said don't hesitate. Yeah, don't wait on it, because that tends to be what happens sometimes. People are, they're worried about asking for help. They're proud, which I get. I understand that. Yeah. But the longer you wait, sometimes the more difficult your situation can be. So you head that off as soon as you can. So don't hesitate. Don't wait.
For sure. And, you know, we here in Michigan, you know, my dad lives in Florida, and he makes fun of how cold it is here. Good for him. Mm. But then I also tease him in return and say, well, here in Michigan, we're tough, right? We know how to handle winter. We know how to handle a lot of things mm-hmm. that folks can't do elsewhere. It's, you know, kind of a teasing, but kind of a point of pride as well. But don't let that pride get in the way of what really needs to be done. And there is no shame. There is no judgment. It might not be you personally. It might be a loved one, a friend, a neighbor. This is a good time of year to continue to look out for people that we care about. And what that means is helping them to help themselves when things are difficult.
All right, Brian Wheeler joining us from Consumers Energy, getting ready for a big weekend at the American One Event Center. Home Builders Association of Jackson, Hillsdale, Lunaway, putting on their 50th Home and Garden Show presented by Consumers Energy. Friday, it runs from 4 to 8. They've got Ladies Night, which runs from 5 until 9. Let's see. Saturday, noon to 6. They're going to have the home show mix at 6. They're going to have local food and beer garden on Saturday. And then Sunday, the Kids Zone from 10 until 2. So it's a big day, big weekend at the Home and Garden Show. Do the Wheelers have any? Yeah. I know you put the furnace in. Did that pretty much kill the projects for the home this year, or is there
that was our big one. Yeah. But you know, we've been in our house for 12 years. It's got some history to it, 100-year-old house, and so we've done kitchens, bathrooms. Haven't tackled the windows yet, which could be a little drafty in the windows in the winter. So that may be the next one. But, you know, that's the great thing about the Home and Garden Show, right? There are people who are experts in all these fields. We talk about these types of remodels and this work. And even if you don't have a project you need to take on right away, go pick up some information, have a drink, have some food, have fun. I think you didn't mention, but on Sunday, I believe the first families with children who arrive are going to be eligible for some credit union giveaways.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a fun experience to be there, let alone the fact that you're going to get some ideas that are going to help you save money down the road.
And you're also going to add to your wish list, too, because you're going to walk around, you're going to probably see that fire pit that you want on your patio. You're probably going to see some lawn equipment that you're going to, I can upgrade to that zero turn, you know, that kind of stuff too. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. So
Yeah, you've got ideas already. So, you know, it's such a blast to be active in our community. I hope people will come and say hi to the Consumers Energy team. And if you have other questions or needs just beyond, like I said, the home, the garden, the projects that you're taking on, we're there for you. If we can't answer your questions on the spot, know that we'll get back to you afterward. You know, we want to be visible. We want people to understand their Consumers Energy service. And if you need something, that's why we're there.
All right, very good. Brian, as always, a pleasure, and we look forward to having you back on the show again here real soon.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you. Brian Wheeler joining us here from Consumers Energy on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Now let's make our way to ABC News headlines, which is courtesy this morning of Think Jackson. And it's almost here, the wedding experience at the Theodore Event Center happening this Saturday. Tickets going fast. Skip the typical expo and step into an immersive wedding showcase designed to inspire. Get your tickets now at thetheodoreevents.com. There's time. You could hit that. You could hit the home show. You could hit several things going on. It's a busy weekend in Jackson. News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
And it is a fundraiser to raise money for the Meals on Wheels program for Jackson County. It's been a very successful event. We have grown it to proportions we never dreamed. We originally started at Ella Sharp Museum for our fundraiser with a small group all those years ago. Outgrew it pretty quickly, actually, and we've been in the American One Event Center since they opened. I think we were actually the second group that actually rented it out. Over the 11 years, we have raised, or over the past 10 years, we've raised $236,000 specifically from that event.
Great. And so, and again, this goes for Meals on Wheels. So give us a little bit of detail on what Meals on Wheels does for the community.
Meals on Wheels helps support older adults and caregivers across Jackson County from border to border, where we're able to deliver a nutritious meal to people that fit the eligibility for the program. It supports older adults and caregivers as they kind of try to age in place. And at different times, people might be recovering from a surgery or have other health conditions which limit them. And so having that nutrition brought to their home, you might think it's just a meal, but it's so much more. Beyond the nutrition, it's just kind of like that safety check to make sure that the person's up and okay for the day. We've had some great stories from people that have received the services and benefited from them. And I think we're just blessed by the Jackson community as well. We're supported by a senior millage, and so that helps us to provide the service on top of what we receive from the Friends of Jackson Seniors. So Jackson County has great people that support all the work we do.
All right, so Soup's On for Seniors. This event is not just for senior citizens, right? Anybody and everybody?
Oh, definitely.
I think we've had people as young as seven last year at the event. So it really is just a chance for the community to get out and support a great service that benefits older adults in our community and just kind of show that support. It's kind of fun each year as we start to roll it out. You see a lot of the same people coming back from year to year. So it's definitely a fun time. Also, I think we're supported by the business community. We have a live auction. We have a silent auction. A lot of things are donated through that from the local businesses. And also, kind of like when you say the soup's on, we actually have nine restaurants coming, local restaurants. We really try to feature their product. So they're out there scooping up the soup for people to have when they're there. We have two local bakeries. So definitely you're getting a chance to check out some of the local businesses in our community. And I think that it's just a great time. We have live entertainment. Matt Walsh has been a supporter of the program over the years. And we have great sponsors. We have nine different sponsors from across Jackson County, a lot of business sponsors. And it's just a great opportunity to get out and show your support for the services that we provide.
So let's Basically, you're gonna get a chance to eat soup, like delicious soup, right? I mean,
you gotta love that. Who doesn't love soup and who doesn't love dessert? And I just think it's just a joyful atmosphere.
Yeah.
I think people are there to just have a lot of fun and listen to the music. They kind of bid on the different items that we have in the silent auction. We actually, this year we have in our live auction, we were gifted the tower tour certificates for the Mackinac Bridge. We won them last year. They only choose 25 organizations to receive them, and the Friends received them last year, and surprisingly, they received them this year. And if you have not checked that out, look it up on the website, the Tower Tours. It's pretty amazing.
All right. Well, you said 9 different restaurants. I see Boer's Fresh Market and Diner, which is a sponsor here on the show, the Crazy Cowboy, Greystone Tavern, Jackson Coney Island, Kibby Cop Deli, One North Kitchen and Bar, the Parlor Restaurant and Creamery, Rocky Top Beer, Barbecue and Grill, and Steve's Ranch. All kicking in with specialty soups. So, you go out and have some soup. It's a great chance to just, you know, network and interact with people, have a good time out. There is beer and wine available. So, if you like to have a drink with your soup, you can do that. And as you mentioned, live music. So, let's see. If you get tickets in advance, $30 per person for one person or $50 for a couple, and then $35 per person on event day. So, even if you can't decide up to March 10th if you're able to make it or not, you guys will let people in at the door.
Absolutely. You can show up at the door, and we will let you in. I do want to give a shout out to Steve's Ranch. They have been with us since our very first event. Faye there and her group are very supportive of this event, and they always show up and bring her specialty orange cake, which actually goes quicker than the soup. they've just been marvelous supporters, so I did want to mention her.
Are there really just big cauldrons of soup and somebody with a big spoon stirring, or is it a little more?
A lot of them have their warmers, and you get served like these 4-ounce cups. A lot of people kind of go up for seconds to kind of find their favorite one. I also just want to mention, when people come to the event, they walk away with a bowl that's been hand-painted.
Oh, wow.
So we have also supporters that paint the bowls. So we've worked with Napoleon Schools, Dawn Foods employees have painted, Eaton, Consumers Energy. We have a couple community groups. We had a group called the Girls Gang. They have painted bowls for us.
I know those ladies.
Girl Scouts. Actually, the seniors themselves at the center have painted bowls.
Wonderful.
And so you kind of walk away with something from the night as well.
Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, keep forever. That you can't buy those. You know what I mean? You only get it from supporting this great event, something like that.
Well, I had a group of my Girl Gang group. Supporters came in and painted like 47 bowls.
Wow.
And they did that as well last year. And a number showed up at the event looking for their bowls because that's the bowl they wanted. We have some marvelous arts on some of the bowls, and some are just kids having fun, but
awesome.
Everybody walks away with a choice of a bowl.
We have to keep them covered until the actual event starts, because people start to come earlier every year. They're so excited. It really is just a fun atmosphere. If you're looking for something to do, get out on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, definitely come out, check it out, enjoy some soup, some desserts, and just have a good time.
Yeah, not super late night. Again, March 10th is the date, 5:30 to 7:30 at the American One Credit Union Event Center at Keeley Park. So a couple hours, leave with a full belly of soup and warm, I'm sure. You know, there's still soup weather come March 10th, so you're going to feel warm from the inside out. Leave with the bowl. And for $50 for a couple of you, sounds like a great night out on a Tuesday.
And I wanted to mention, too, you mentioned the soup providers, restaurants, ABC Bakery, and they have partnered with For Goodness Cakes.
Awesome.
They are going to be there, too, with assortment of desserts, breads, and so forth to go with the soups.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm getting hungry because ABC Bakery has stopped in here a time or two with some of their delicious goods, so I can vouch for them being high quality for sure. And it sounds like you got a good crew. Let's talk little sponsors. I mean, let's give them a little shout out. Who's tossing cash along the way. I see some on here on my screen, but I'll let you guys kind of mention.
Yeah, our platinum sponsor is the United Methodist Retirement Communities, their Porter Hills Foundation. Our silver sponsors are Commonwealth, Dillon Associates, and Tack Manufacturing. Our bronze sponsors are the Alvin Glick Foundation and Alro Steel. MN Service, RW Mercer. Our soup supporters are True Community Credit Union and Vista Grand Villa. So we're very thankful for the sponsors that are helping with this event.
And I'd like to mention, we talked about it, supporting the Meals on Wheels program. Mm-hmm. I'd like to mention specifically over the years, the primary focus has been the needs of the program. We always partner with the department, ask them, are there some specific needs? Primarily, over the years, what we have done with the funds, plus some generous donations on top, have purchased vans for the Department on Aging. We've bought three vans in the last 3 years for the department. And Danielle can speak to this, of how many miles that those vans are on the road every weekday delivering meals. There are 14 routes. The vans wear out.
Sure.
So that's what our primary focus is, to raise enough money to purchase new vans.
I'd say probably the hardest part is to keep those wheels on the road.
Correct.
Maintenance, yes. Repairs, all the service stuff that has to happen for vans. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Danielle Paquette from the Department on Aging and Diane Derby from the Friends of Jackson Seniors, the Soups On for Seniors event coming up on March 10th, supporting Meals on Wheels. And it's been a pleasure to hear about the event, and it sounds really exciting. How do you get tickets? How do you get into it?
Definitely people can go to the website to purchase tickets at the Friends website. And if you're just, want to give the call, you can call the Department on Aging at 788-4364 and we can direct you to the website, or you can come into the Department on Aging and purchase tickets. If you get real close to the event, if you just give us a call, we can reserve some tickets as well.
Yeah, so like a will call kind of feature. So you can get the pre-ticket sale price,
yes,
but pick them up day of, and you don't have to worry about getting them in transit or going and, yes, picking them up beforehand.
Absolutely.
Save yourself a trip. Very cool. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm excited. Who's the MC for the event?
Actually, it's Mark Daly.
I knew that was true, and I said, what a bummer that on the day when you guys are here, he had to be out of the studio, but I'm sure Mark's exciting. He does a great job in that capacity. The guy's almost too comfortable on the microphone in public.
Actually, we're pretty excited. He found out about the event, and he contacted us and asked if he could participate. So
that's great.
That was wonderful of him.
And that was kind of my next question. So maybe people are hearing about this event, they're out of town, or they can't get there for whatever purpose, but they really want to support the cause. How can, throughout the rest of the year, people contribute? Maybe they want to paint bowls next time, or maybe they would just want to get a check out to you guys. How can somebody participate in that way?
I think if they just give the Department on Aging a call, we can help direct them to kind of what they would like to do. We do have people throughout the year that actually go onto the Friends of Jackson Seniors website and will donate to support people receiving Meals on Wheels. So that is always an option. But definitely, if you have an interest of ways that you're interested in supporting us, give us a call and we can see what we can do.
Give us that number one more time.
It's 517-788-4364.
Perfect.
And we love bowl painters.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because every year you got to be trying to get more and more people, yes, to attend. That means more and more bowls required.
Well, some companies do contact the department and they want to do it like as a team, mm-hmm, project.
Sure.
And we love groups coming in to paint bowls. They have fun and it helps us.
Yeah, that's a good team-building thing.
Yeah, it gives us a chance to kind of highlight Meals on Wheels and all the services that we provide. So last year, we did over 330,000 meals across Jackson County and served over, 1,300 people. So it is a big program. I think it's one of the largest programs that supports older adults and caregivers in Jackson County. So I think there's just a lot of benefit to the service and helping enrich the lives of older adults.
Well, and while I have you here, we want to focus on the event for sure, promoting that. Soups On for Seniors coming up on March 10th, 5:30 to 7:30. But the Department on Aging, what other services do you guys have that somebody might be listening and saying, hey, I'm aging, how can I maybe get helped with something else? What else do you offer at the Department on Aging?
We do actually have a lot of people that come directly to the department to participate in different exercise classes. We do dinner dances. We have cards. We serve a hot meal at noon, Monday through Friday. It's a donation-based program. You really can't go anywhere and get a donation-based program meal for $2.50. So yeah. People come in for socialization, activities, just to be around others. So I think it's a great place to come in and check out. We have a newsletter that highlights all the variety of things that we offer. Definitely a fun and happening place. We also do other home services like personal care, homemaker services, respite care, some counseling services. We have people that will call the department that just have questions about Medicare and Medicaid and, you know, just trying to learn a little bit more about those insurance options and how to navigate that. We're really, I think, the focal point for aging services. So if you have questions about who does what in the community, what services might I be eligible for based on my situation, I think we're kind of that starting point. So giving us a call, reaching out, tell us your situation, and see how we can help you.
And I guess, I mean, I'll try to get a number out there. I'm sure you don't want to box anybody out, but at what age should people start saying, hey, I might need to talk with the aging folks?
Well, I think that just depends on the person's situation. Because, I mean, right. If you're a caregiver, I might be calling myself to see what's available for maybe a neighbor that I live next to and I have some concerns about, or they could use a little bit of assistance. So I think any age can call, see if they're eligible for the services, you know, as far as if they're a caregiver situation. But again, I think people start calling like 60 plus, you know, 60 or better is how we say it.
All right, perfect. Diane, what's your favorite soup?
I like the creamy tomato type
okay.
of soup.
I
love it, but I'm one of the few that don't like the cheese dropped in the soup. I like the tomato soup.
Sounds good.
I do think they bring quite a variety, yes, so sure. It's hard to pick just one. You just got to try them all.
Yes, I think that's got to be the plan.
There's no two alike. They're all different every year.
Yes.
All right, great. Soup's on for seniors again coming up on March the 10th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the American One Credit Union Event Center at Keeley Park, the fairgrounds, for anyone who's still not familiar with that Keeley Park moniker. But again, tickets on sale at $30 for one person or $50 for two people if you buy them in advance. And even if you go the day of, $35 per person on event day. And however, we do have a bonus opportunity here, and we got some tickets for the event that we can give away right now, right?
Absolutely. We have two tickets for the 11th caller because it's our 11th year.
11 years of Soup Sound for Seniors. So we'll take caller number 11 in just a moment. Right now, I want to say thank you to Danielle Paquette and Diane Derby for coming in and telling us all about this event. And that's great. And it was great to meet you guys. And it sounds like a fun event, but it sounds like you guys are having a lot of fun with seniors all the time.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.